consider it an honor and a privilege. I always consider it an honor that Pastor gives me opportunity to preach and teach, but I do not want it to be to the expense of what he's gone through for the last week. But I do appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning, and I hope to be a blessing to you. I want to ask you a question this morning, just to kind of introduce our message for this morning, or the lesson that I want to teach. If you were going to do something and you didn't know quite how to do it, where would you go to get some instructions that would be in help to you? I want you to think about that this morning. I don't have a three-year-old to bring up here this morning, but I want to use this as an example. I think Joy is probably just a little bit too small, even though it's good to have her in our class this morning. How many of you had kids that when they get dressed, if you give them opportunity to dress, and they put their clothes on, most of them put their shoes on backwards, don't they? Most kids, they say it's pretty normal if a child puts his shoes on the wrong foot. How about this one, though? If you gave them the chance to put their clothes on and they put their pants on backwards. How many of y'all have had your kids do that? Brother, a pastor said he's had his kids do that, put their pants on backwards. I want you to think about that this morning, because when it comes to making choices and making decisions, we tend to be like the three-year-olds or the four-year-olds and the five-year-old. We put our life plans on backwards. Right. Amen? Yes, sir. I want you to think about it this morning, because a lot of times when it comes to making decisions and choices in our lives, we put our pants on backwards, because the last person, most of the time, if we be honest with ourselves, the Lord is not the one that we would go to get the instructions as to how we should do things. So I thought about it this morning, having one of the three-year-olds, but I didn't know any of the parents that I could probably call to have them come up here be an example. But I think you got the picture this morning, right? But I want you to keep that in mind. And one of the things that I brought this up was because, if you all know, I said it on Wednesday night in the Bible study, one of the things that I've always tried to do when it comes to being in front of the adults is that, because I get a chance, and a lot of times I've taught the middlers, I've taught the teenagers, and now my wife and I are working with the smaller kids, I always kind of want the parents to know what we are teaching them. Now, Pastor has a great idea because he gives us the curriculum. But I want you to know my heart, because when it comes to dealing with your children, again, I said it Wednesday night, it is of the utmost importance to me that I'm saying the right things. And I hope that you would be, as a parent, is enforcing those things that we want to share with you this morning. And one of the things that we looked at this past that I've been just dying to talk about is the fact that putting your pants on backwards is like the way that we approach life sometimes. And I thought about the middlers or the teenagers when we were teaching them. And y'all hear me talking about, we talk about different by design, because God has a design, a plan for our lives. And a lot of times the design is there, but the author is not being engaged because we decided to put our pants on backwards. We're going to do it our way and not God's way. And one of the things that we try to teach the teenagers is, you know what, I said to them and I say it again, I wish that when I was growing up, and y'all said, well, when you going to get to the lesson? Just hold on. when I was growing up, I wish with all of my heart that I had an opportunity to be where the young people that are in this church are able to be where they are. Because when I grew up, I didn't have the godly influence. I wasn't raised in a good Christian home. I wasn't raised in a good Baptist church that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't get saved until my lateral part of my life. And a lot of that was because my parents did all that they knew to do, but I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And I didn't know about putting God first in my life. And let me say this to you as parents this morning and grandparents, you have this still the greatest opportunity to be an influence in your children's life, because a lot of grandparents are raising their children's children. So you have an opportunity. But if you're going to give them any instructions about something to do and how to make choices, it better be, or it ought to be, based on the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And we go to different by design. You say, well, why you use this? I'm just use this as a launching point, because different by design was written by Gary Smith. And he gave some great principles here. And I just loved it when we were teaching our young people about it. And one of the things I want to say, that when it comes to my favorite verse, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter number 3. I could quote it, but I want you to get you engaged. In Proverbs chapter number 3, we're going to look at it as the launching verse, but it is my favorite verse. And one of the things that we try to teach to teenagers and teaching them when we were doing it in the Sunday school hour, I find it here in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. And if I'm sure you're there. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Do we get that?
Yes, sir.
It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Yes, sir.
So if we're going to do anything, we're going to teach our kids, or we're going to live the word of God, we got to be willing to trust the Lord with all thine heart and to lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. But we've got to be willing to allow him to direct our path. And many of our young people are going to make choices and make decisions. And even some of us as adults, we're going to make some decisions in our life. But are we willing to trust the Lord to lead God and direct in our lives in the decisions that we're making? Because we're going to have an influence on somebody in our lives. It's going to be your children. It's going to be your grandchildren. It's going to be somebody you work around, someone you live. You're going to always have an influence on somebody.
Right.
And we need to be trusting in the Lord.
Right.
And here's what I decided to do for the Sunday school hour. And I'm going to talk about it tonight as well. But I want us to turn over to Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter 24. And this was one of the, I consider it probably one of the greatest love stories in all of the Gospels or in all of the Bible. Is Isaac's choosing or Isaac being given a wife.
Right. Amen.
So we've been talking to the young people about the importance of making decisions when it comes to choosing a mate.
Wow.
And I think some of the principles that we're talking about this morning are not only were good for them, I think they'd be good for us as adults because, listen, if you're going to take your children and be an influence in their life, you know where you ought to take them? Take them to the Word of God.
Amen.
And one of the greatest examples that you could sit down as a parent and share with them some truths about the Word of, about anything about life, it is in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things that I wanted to do a couple of months ago when Pastor was talking about the home, I think one of the things that we were looking forward to doing that I didn't get to do, but that's okay. We'll talk about it a little bit this morning. But when I look at Genesis chapter 24 and verses 1, most of us today, and I said this to the young people, how many of you all, your parents chose the person that you marry? Anybody here like that? None of us probably did. But Isaac, parents chose the person that he married. Amen? And I'm not saying this, and I'm saying that we ought to go back to the old way of doing things, but I say this, but we should go to the principles of the way that was done.
Yes, sir.
Because I would believe that it would be a help to us today, because you ought to be willing to be some kind of influence in your young people's lives. Take them to the Word of God and show them how Isaac chose to allow his parents to choose his mate. He's trusting in the Lord because he's trusting the fact that God is directing in his father's life. Not only is God directing in Abraham's life, but God is directing even in the servant's life that has been chosen to go and choose Abraham's son a wife. Now get this, because the whole picture here that I want us to see this morning, we have probably, what, 5 or 6 people involved in chapter 24. And here's one of the key things that's here in this chapter is all of them are trusting in the Lord.
Right. Amen.
That ought to tell us something, folks, this morning.
Yes, sir.
Look at what it says in verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That tells me something, that God had blessed Abraham in a lot of things.
Right.
And Abraham is getting older. And he wants his son to get married and have a wife. And he knew that he wanted to be a part of it. And maybe he wasn't physically able to go out and find her one, but he knew there was somebody that he could trust to provide the wife that his son needed.
Yes, sir.
And it wasn't so much in the servant, but it was in the master that he served.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Because God was going to make a way.
Right.
Because Abraham was trusting God. And, you know, and I find it so ironic that here it is, not only is Abraham trusting in his God, but his servant is trusting in his master's God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What a tremendous thing when you think about it this morning. I'm getting chill bumps this morning just thinking about it. If I get excited, y'all, that's all right. Amen.
Amen.
And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites on whom I dwell. And notice what the servant here gives some things that he's concerned about. First of all, I want us to know that they're all trusting in the Lord. Let's just think about it. Abraham's trusting in the Lord. The servant's going to trust in the Lord. Rebecca is going to trust in the Lord. Rebecca's parents are going to trust in the Lord. Her old greedy brother, he's going to eventually come around and he's going to trust in the Lord, because they're going to all encourage her. They kind of drug their feet a little bit.
Yes, sir.
But they all encourage her because they knew it was of God.
Right.
How many of us will say this morning that the mate that we chose, we know that they are of God?
Amen.
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 Now, I'll be the first to tell you, when I got married, I wasn't saved. So I can't turn her back. Amen. No, just kidding. I wouldn't do it anyway. But you know what? Since I got saved, I realized that the mate that I have,
right,
I believe is the one that God wants me to have.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because I made a choice when I married her that it is to death do us part. And she's going to be my mate until death separates us or God takes us home. One of us, whether we go together or whether we go separately. Because we're going to see here tonight, and we won't get to it this morning. Y'all have to come back for the conclusion. But if I can get started here, I want us to think about some requirements that I want you to see. And we're going to probably have to kind of hurry through. My wife already reminded me, honey, you got to make sure you get done in 30 minutes. Amen. All right. So y'all listen up. And I didn't get to share this with the teenagers, but I want to share this with you this morning. I want you to notice some things. If you're going to teach your children and help them, when it comes to influencing them about choosing a mate, one of the first requirements ought to be is the spiritual requirement.
Right. Amen.
The spiritual requirement.
Yes, sir.
It is so vitally important. Look at what Abraham instructed his servant to do. Look at verse number 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. In other words, he's exercising here that the Canaanites were really what we look at as pagan. They were the ungodly people that Abraham knew that they were in association with. So it goes back to the 1 Corinthians, where it goes back to tell us as Christians, we should not be unequally yoked.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm afraid today many of Christians have taken this out of context or not even following it, because, again, they got their pants on backwards because they're doing it because they believe that this is the person for them. But they never ask God with all sincerity,
amen,
if this is the one that he wants me to have.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it's hard enough to live in a home where both are sincerely trying to live for the Lord, because they both are saved. They know Christ as Savior.
Yes, sir.
And you have a hard enough time, by the grace of God, trying to live a life and a marriage that would be pleasing to God.
Amen.
And if you step outside of that, you're going to have even a worse of a time.
Right.
You know, I think about this. I'm a country boy. Y'all hear me say it many times.
Amen.
I've never seen anybody hook up two animals of different, what do we call them? They're not different species, and they work good together.
Right.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
And that's what it has the idea of being unequally yoked. So what I'm trying to tell your young people and share with them is, you know what, when you choose somebody that's not a Christian, you're out of the will of God, first of all, already.
Right.
And then if you go into a marriage, it's going to be even harder because never have you ever seen, and I've never been, I grew up on a farm, I've never seen somebody hook up a horse to a plow and a cow next to him and they work good together.
Right.
It just won't happen.
Yes, sir.
So don't put your pants on backwards.
Right.
Because it won't work.
Yes, sir.
So the spiritual requirement Abraham lays out here, he said, look, don't go get just anybody, but it has to be the right person. And he wanted him not to take somebody of the Canaanites. Amen.
Right.
All right. So that's the first point we want to make. The second one here, I'm going to go through it just a little quickly. But the second one here is the role requirements. There's a role in a requirement in marriage that every family ought to make sure that it's in place. You know what? I think about it when it goes back to Genesis, and we can go back to Genesis chapter number one or chapter two. When God told Abraham he was to guard, not Abraham, when he told Adam he was to guard his home, in other words, God was telling him what his responsibility was. He was to be the head of the home.
Right.
And notice what Abraham tells him not to do. Look at verse number six. And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. In other words, look at verse number eight. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. In other words, she was to come and follow Abraham or Isaac and not Isaac follow her.
Right.
You know what? I want to say this with all the caveat. Don't shoot the messenger. But listen to the message.
Amen.
Because if you want it to work in your life and you want it to work in God's life, then don't get mad with Pastor White when he just points out really what the Bible is saying.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Because it is important.
Yes, sir.
Now, all of us live in different situations. But what I want our young people, if they're going to have a chance, and if you want to minister and be a blessing to your own children, what example are you going to use? I wouldn't want my girls to grow up and be brought up the way that I was, but I want them to be brought up and taught the way that I've come to know.
Amen.
What the Word of God says.
Amen.
Because the greatest success that they're going to ever have is because they're going to believe the God of this book.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And as a father,
right,
the best source that I can teach and I can give them is to follow this biblical principle.
Right.
And the biblical teaching.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
So y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So he tells her that the roles here need to be in the right order, because if she don't want to come, that's okay. You're going to be freed of this oath, but don't take my son to her. Bring her to him. In other words, it's telling her, they are telling him that my son or his wife is to be in submission or under subversion to her husband, the authority
yes,
that God has put in place. See, folks, it's important. It's important to God in such a way, if we're going to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, we shouldn't lean to our own understanding. That ain't the way we do things today. But you know what? God hasn't changed.
Right. Amen.
And his way of doing things haven't changed.
Yes, sir.
And if we want God's blessing on our families and we want God's blessing in our children's lives, it has to be done God's way.
Yes, sir.
And if it's not done God's way, you ought not be disappointed. Because if you don't do it his way, he is not obligated to help in any way. Amen.
Right.
So we see here the role requirements. We see the spiritual requirements. And again, we're going to just kind of speed along a little bit. But notice the dependability requirements. Dependability is so important in a marriage. I am so grateful today that I can depend on my wife.
Amen.
Do some things when it comes to our relationship. Let me say this, young ladies and young men that are here single and all of them, and don't put your pants on backwards, amen?
Amen.
And he said in verse number 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even in the time that the woman or the women go out to draw water.
Sure.
You know what is so important about being dependable? Because when she was supposed to go out and get the water, you know where she was? She was carrying out her responsibility.
Yes, sir.
She could be depended on to do what she was supposed to do. And just like you and I, your mate or your husband or your wife ought to be able to depend on you.
Amen.
to do your part when it comes to doing what it is that you're supposed to do. Dependability is so important because she was carrying out her responsibilities. And if you learn how, young people, if you learn how to carry out your responsibilities now, you'll learn how to carry out your responsibilities in your marriage. If you're not doing it now, as I was telling them, you won't do it when you get married. And it will do is cause more problems in your marriage. Amen?
Amen.
So y'all with me? So here's the dependability part. So to be somebody that you can depend on. You could count on such a girl to do their duties when it was to be done. In other words, if a marriage is going to be successful, it must have a lot of dependability in it. Because there are going to be some things that you're going to have to depend on the other person to do when it comes to making a marriage and a home successful. I use this as an example. May sound trivial, but I try to make sure I do my part. Today is my day to wash dishes on Sunday.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
You wash dishes? Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Ain't but two people in the house.
Amen.
I eat too.
Right.
You know what I ain't figured out? Where so many dishes come from for just two people? I think what happens is I let my side build up, amen, before I wash. But anyway, but I take out the garbage. The last person out makes the bed. I mean, just little things. You say it may sound trivial, but you know what? It's important. Because I want her to depend on me. Because if I don't do the little things, I won't do the major things that need to be done that my wife is depending on me to take care and to provide for her. Dependability. If she's not dependable when you're choosing a wife, Shane, she ain't going to be dependable when you get married to her. You can come home, you be looking for supper on the table. Ain't going to be none there. The dishes ain't washed. The clothes ain't clean. A house ain't clean, and she ain't doing nothing but being at home. That's probably not a good mate, amen? That's not the way a mate ought to be.
Right.
But remember this, parents. You're raising somebody else's spouse.
That's right.
And if you don't hold them accountable now
right. And
be dependable into what they're supposed to carry out, it's not going to help them to be successful in their marriage, amen? So dependability is what the servant now, he's looking for. Notice not only do we see the spiritual, the role, and the dependability, but notice the appearance. Now, here's where a lot of people probably would say, why does appearance matter? Look at verse 16. He's going to point out some things here in verse 16. We're kind of skipping through this, but it's some good principles that are here. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and he said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Now, the appearance here is clearly important to the servant choosing Rebekah for Isaac. Remember, it's just not for him, but it's for her.
Right.
And it's for Isaac.
Yes, sir.
Why is appearance so important? But notice the order that it came. It was spiritual.
Right.
The role was set. She was dependable. But appearance is important as well.
Sure.
Let me say this. Most of us grew up there, were unsaved. What we saw got our attention. And if you're willing to look nice, ladies, which you should, and young girls, look nice for him no matter where you go and what you do. She took the time to make sure that she was dressed appropriately and she looked nice when she went out in public.
Yes, sir.
And you ought not stop doing that once you get married. Amen.
Right.
I still look at my wife with, she said, as long as I still keep looking at her with them eyes of pleasure and desire and love in them, she's going to be satisfied. Because if you're looking at the barn, I heard this years ago, y'all here, look, I'm country. You know, even the shutters on the barn sometimes need a little paint.
Yes, sir.
Amen? They get old. They get gray looking. They get holes in them. They get dried up. They look cracks in them. You know? But a little paint on the barn won't hurt nothing either.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen? Yes, sir.
Well, hold on, men. Now, you know, where we collect our used products, amen, where we digest, it gets a little expanded around the waist. You know what? We ain't what we used to be either.
Yes, sir.
But we ought to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, because we want our wives not only to look at the physical, but we want our wives to the spiritual, but we want them to look at something that's desirable as well. We want to take care of ourselves is what I'm trying to say here. Because Rebecca looked nice before she get married. She ought to take care of herself to look nice to her husband after they get married.
Right. Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir.
So appearance was important. It's important. In other words, I'm not trying to be harsh, but it don't look like a hag every time the husband come home. Because
right.
A lot of times out in the workplace, he's going to be around other women or other, you're going to be around other men. And you see that. And you know what? If you're not satisfied with what you have, you'll go to looking which you ought not be.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But you ought to help the cause out by keeping yourself in. I'm trying to say it as kindly as I can, to keep your appearance to where it is still something that would be appropriate because of who you are, what you are, and you are a husband or you are a spouse, a wife.
Amen.
So that's why he said that, I believe, because the appearance was important. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And it must not be ignored. She looked nice. Even though she was doing her work, she still looked nice. And I think it is very appropriate that you ought to come home. And you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, let me say this. And I tell the young people, as we were sharing some of these things with them, we didn't get probably this in depth. But you know what? You ought to look nice to your husband when he comes home. Amen? Put a little paint on the bar. Amen? Ain't nothing wrong with that. And the husband ought not just look like he got grease under his fingernails and walking around with a shirt two sizes too small or whatever. You want to make sure you still look like the hunk that she married, even if you had to wear an overflow, amen, so that the part don't show. Amen? But you still want to make sure you're doing that. You know what? Because the way that you begin in anything, it ought to be the way that you want to finish. Amen? And everything in between, you want to keep it up and up. Amen? Let me move on because I won't get done here. But notice not only that, but I want us to notice the dependability. As we saw the appearance, but notice not on the moral requirements. The moral requirements. Look at verse number 16 again. And the damsel was very fair. She looked good. Her appearance was good. And upon as a fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. Let me say this. If you be morally pure before you get married, a virgin, neither had no man known her, you stay morally pure in your thinking and the way you carry yourself. Because the Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God is going to judge. When we step outside of the boundaries of what that realm, then you're already out of the will of God.
Right.
He wasn't looking for somebody that had already been married. He wasn't looking for a widow. He wasn't looking for a prostitute. He wasn't looking for that. He was looking for somebody that had kept themselves pure till they get to the altar. Let me ask y'all this. How many people would want to buy a set of tires that's already been used? If I go to Discount Tires or I go to Firestone or I go wherever and I want to buy a set of tires, now if I buy them used, it's different. But if I want a new set, I don't want something that somebody else has already had use of. And what I try to teach your young, again, what are we doing? Because many of us have made some mistakes along the way. That's not what the point is. But what are you going to teach your children? So what kind of boundaries and what kind of a foundation are you going to lay? Amen. This is the goal of this whole thing that I'm talking about this morning. Because you want to have the right influence on your children. Then so if you're going to do anything that's going to be a help to them, I made some mistakes in my life and I'm not going back to the old kid. I'm going to go back to the new. Because
yes.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are to become new. Because I'm looking at life different than it was before I got married. And I want my girls to do things differently because I want God's blessing in their lives.
Amen.
So I got to go back to the Word of God.
Amen.
So that's what he was looking for. That's what Isaac had done. And it's not just for the girls to keep themselves pure. You need to be raising your sons to do the same thing. Because he ought not want to have that, and he might preserve and keep himself pure, because he should be pure too. And one of the greatest experiences that a young people, I believe, they can have in all their lives is when they engage in marriage, and the thing that God has ordained and blessed in marriage, when it is done right and God's way, the enjoyment will be for both of them, and the pleasure will be what God intended it to be.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir.
So that's what we're trying to teach this morning. That's what we wanted to hold before them. And again, I hope I have your support if I ever get to teach them anything about anything. A good marriage is not obtained easily. It takes much strength of character to produce a good marriage. So if she remains or he remains pure before, or morally pure, it cannot be emphasized enough when it comes to selecting a mate. Those not morally careful before marriage would not be morally careful. Let me say it again. After marriage.
Right.
Marriage is a lifelong thing, so make sure you pick the right person. Amen? Notice now, not only we see the moral requirements because it was there, but notice the unselfish requirements. Look at verse number 14. Again, and it came to pass as the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, for thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You know what? When it comes to marriage and a relationship, you can't be selfish. We have to be two unselfish people. Because there are going to be things that I can do. I tell people all the time, there are many of things that I could do that I'm not going to do because it doesn't benefit my family. It may benefit me, but it doesn't benefit my family. So I can't be selfish in my act. And what I like about Rebecca was she was already showing that she was an unselfish person. She was willing to draw the water. She was willing to feed, give him water to drink, but she was also willing to give even the camels. Y'all know how much water a camel can drink? And we ain't talking about one, we talking about 10. She could have been unselfish. Said, you get the water yourself. You know what? And most people, I'm going to say most, let me take that back. My wife always said, don't say most because you don't always know what everybody will do. But today in most society that we live in, a lot of times you'd be told, go get the water yourself. I'm not feeding you drink. I'm not going to get enough water for your camels. Aren't you glad you ain't got a camel today? Hey, amen. You can drive up to the gas station and hopefully got some water out there. You might have to pay for it, but you can put it in the radiator. Amen. But in that day, the camel was what they took care of. And she was willing to do that. So she was unselfish in her act. She got her water. She didn't have to give him water either. And she certainly didn't have to give the camel's water. Now, I could take what I make and work for it and be selfish and buy everything that I want, but that's not fair to my family. That's not fair to my wife, and I can be unselfish. I could be selfish in doing it. But she shows unselfish qualities. Young people, that's what you ought to be looking for.
Right.
Because if you think I'm not telling you something true, just turn on the TV and look at the commercials. Look at the marriages that are failing. And you know what? We may not want to go back to the old way of doing something, but what I'm saying this morning, the principles that we're talking about are very, very necessary.
Right.
Because it's the principles that I believe that we can still follow.
Yes, sir.
That's going to be a helpful.
Amen.
And unselfishness is something that ought not take place
right.
In a marriage. What's going to happen when you get kids? Well, I ain't sharing my French fries with them. Let me get them home. But they ain't got no money to buy nothing. So I got to buy them some fries, share my fries. I got to be willing to do all of that.
Yes, sir.
And not be unselfish. Because they don't want what, you know, most of us, how many times you go to eat something, you think your kids don't like it? Amen? But the minute you go to eating it, it seems like they got just as much of a crave for it now that you have. And they want to eat it up before you can even enjoy it. You have to kind of sneak and wait till they go to bed. You have to go in the refrigerator when you think they ain't looking. And the minute you open it, if you got little kids, there they are standing right there. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Man, I thought you were asleep. I was saving that piece of chicken. I was saving that cookie. I was saving that piece of pie. I thought you were asleep. No, they'll wait. How about this one? Teresa and I, we wait. Ain't but two of us. So, are you going to get up? No, I ain't getting up. Well, it's your turn to go get the ice cream. Okay. Or it's your turn to make the coffee. You can't be selfish. Because sometimes I want to be spoiled when I get home. Amen. And I want her to feel like I'm still being unselfish. And I'm willing to share what it is that I have. And that's what it takes to have a good relationship in a home. We can't be selfish. We have to be unselfish. Amen. So, and if she gives the servant drink and then volunteers to water the camels, she is indeed unselfish. Selfishness thrives under pressure. Amen. And marriage generates a lot of pressure. Therefore, do not choose a selfish mate. Because sometimes it's going to require that we be willing to give up something for the betterment of the other person. Amen? If it's going to be successful. Notice not only this, but notice they need to have some good manners. Notice verse number 18. Manners is required. Amen? We're going to speed up here. Manners is required. Look at verse number 18. And it says here, and she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. In other words, the drink here, or her saying, drink, my Lord, is the same way as being respectful when you say, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, we live in a society today, and a lot of people don't think it's important to have your kids say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am. That's respect, folks.
Yes, sir.
That's respect. We talked about it Wednesday night, and Shireen is here. She ain't going to allow too many people to call her other than that. She's a chief, amen. She's not going to let her subordinates call her Shireen. No, that ain't going to happen because they should respect her position. And what Rebecca is doing, she's calling him Lord because he was Lord to her. Because of his position and the place that he held and where he was and who he was. Because he was elder to her. Yes, sir. No, sir. Sarah called Abraham what? Lord. Because she had respect for who Abraham was. He was her Lord. He was the picture of the Lord in her life, was her husband. So that is respect, folks. And if they ain't got a lot of manners now, I'm telling you, it's going to be a problem. Good manners is a vital in a marriage. A lack of good manners can cut deep wounds in a marriage relationship. It can destroy harmony in a marriage because we don't show good manners. I could use some good examples there. Amen. Rebecca showed good respect by her speech, which is part of good manners, by saying, Lord, my Lord. I want you to notice not only we see that she was industrious. Amen. Look at verse number 14 again. We're going to read these. And it came to pass that as the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be that thou appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Look at verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. The stipulation of watering the camels would really show industriousness of the woman. Rebecca was willing to draw water, showing how she could quickly go and do that and come back. It reminds me of the virtuous woman in Proverbs. She shall take care of her household because she know how to do multiple tasks things that she's responsible for doing. Or at least she had agreed to do. And she was industrious in it because she knew what had to be done. And she was voluntarily doing that. She didn't have to do it, but she was volunteering to do it. So that is necessary as well when it comes to a marital relationship. In fact, she hasted and she ran, as verse 20 tells us, in watering the camels. Further emphasize her great industriousness. Industriousness is another important requirement one needs to give good priority in selecting a marriage partner. Because they know how to do certain things and they do it well. And notice this, she did it with a good attitude.
Amen.
A good attitude.
Yes, sir.
Because it was in her heart to do the right thing.
Amen.
That's what we want our children to look for.
Yes, sir.
Listen, don't encourage them to sell themselves short.
Right.
They deserve what right. God's best for them.
Yes, sir.
And let me say this. I got two girls that are wanting to get married and are not. But I'm not encouraging them to go outside of God's plan for it. It's a lot better for them to be single because you know what? If they do it outside of God's plan, you know who's going to have the most headaches from it? It's us as grandparents. Amen? And there are so many grandparents that are responsible today for raising their own children's kids because of their lack of responsibility and their lack of impatience and waiting on God. So it's important. Amen? I got enough taking care of them. Amen? Amen. But you know what? I love it. Amen? If marriage partner is lazy and slothful, it will produce a difficult marriage. Amen? Last but not least, the home requirements. Amen? We won't read all of them in their entirety, but if we read verses 23 all the way down to verse 25, and it talks about that, how Abraham asked her, but the servant asked her about her home, and her response was that there was plenty in my home. And she talked about her home being a place, you know, how many kids have you ever asked, well, what's your home life like? Wow, you don't want to know. They have nothing good to say about what their home life is like. All she could say, and the way that she said it, the way she talked about her family, the way she talked about her home, is going to affect how she behaves in her own home when she get one or when she comes into one.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
It's not built by itself.
Right.
It's the people that are involved in it. And we ought to have good things to say about our home life. And you know what? When your kids leave home, and I pray that they will, amen, but they ought to enjoy and think it a joy and a privilege and a pleasure to come home because home should always be a place that they can come to.
Amen.
And they can invite other people in it because of what it is. And Rebecca spoke well about her family. And the servant knew, yes, Kathy, hold on just a second. And the servant knew that she came from a good home environment, just the way that she responded to him. Who are you? I'm Rebecca. She gave him her credentials of who she was, where her family was, what her family was providing, what her family could provide. Home requirement is important. And everybody's going to come from a different home environment, and that's not what I'm saying. Again, that is not where I'm trying to address. But if you're going to teach your kids about choosing a mate, what are you going to use? I think this will work pretty good.
Amen, sir.
He ain't fail.
That's right.
His word won't fail.
Yes, sir.
The failure comes when we don't use it.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't put your pants on backwards.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Miss Kathy, and we're going
to
close.
Mm-hmm. If we look happy, or we look proud,
uh-huh.
I think that shows how we look too.
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, we said it many times, if we as Christians don't show the joy of the Lord, I'm not saying being happy, but you know what, there ought to be the joy of the Lord in your life even when you can't be happy and it shows on the outside. But the joy comes in the morning. The joy comes in knowing Christ. Happiness comes with circumstances and everything being right. But joy comes with knowing the God of heaven and who's in control. Who knows what you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for your blessings, God. We thank you for the privilege we have this morning to be in your house, and we thank you for the Sunday school hour. And I just pray, Lord, that even as I think about all of these things this morning, what a joy it is to be in a home that's God-centered around the things of God. And I pray that even these principles will be a blessing to the adults this morning, but may it be a nugget in their own life to be a blessing to their children as they continue to raise them for the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Because if we're going to do anything that's going to help our young people, it has to be the believing in the Word of God and teach it, preach it, live it to the best of our abilities by the Spirit of God. We love you and praise you and ask that you bless now in the service to follow. Give our pastor the strength and that he needs this morning to preach the Word of God and not be interrupted by the spasms in his back. But we're just so encouraged this morning that he can be here in our midst, and I pray you use him in a mighty way. And again, if there be any that come this morning that does not know Christ the Savior, God, I pray that this would be the day that they would make that decision before you, before it's eternally too late. Bless now even the snacks that we'd be partaking of between the service, that they would give us just what we need to continue to live for you, to love you, and to serve you in these days to come. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.